I'd like to welcome you back at the end of another week. Believe it or not, a week from today will be the final Friday in this year of 2018. And of course, on Tuesday, we celebrate Christmas together. I will be here on Monday and Tuesday next week, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, as well as, of course, Wednesday through Friday, and I hope that you will join me, for God is. I'm going to continue and then bring to a close this series on the genealogy of Jesus and our look at the real Mary, so do not forget to turn on your radios or get the podcast next week. At the same time, I realize you may be up and away, traveling starting this weekend. So before you go, I want to say that I hope that you will enjoy a very blessed Christmas. And if you'll be away from your usual routine, take the God Is podcast with you wherever on the planet you are going. Just go to 590amtheword.com and click podcast at the top of the page, and then God Is. Furthermore, all of the scriptures I'm using yesterday and today are on the God Is WEZE Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and type in God Is WEZE and find the scripture references. Alternatively, write to me today and ask for them. I'll get them right over to you. Today's broadcast follows along what we've talked about all week, and yesterday and today I'm taking biblical texts from Luke chapter 1 that Catholics say defend their position for the worship of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and I am refuting those from within the Bible itself. The three passages the Roman Catholic Church uses to defend the Immaculate Conception, sinlessness, and veneration of Mary are as follows. The first one is Luke 1, verse 28, and coming in, Gabriel said to Mary, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." The second one is Luke 1, verse 42, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And the third one is Luke 1, verse 48, "All generations will count me blessed." I've already spoken of each one of these verses specifically and refuted the Catholic view on Luke 1, verse 28 on Tuesday. Yesterday, I gave you two other texts, Luke 1, 28-30, and Matthew 2, 11, to address why Catholic interpretations are incorrect. Today, I'm going to give you five more texts as I continue to engage you on what the Bible means by what the Bible actually says. And to do that, let me pick up on the meaning of this word blessed in Luke 1, verses 42 and 48. Even a cursory study of the Greek words here, used for blessed, tell us these have nothing to do with sinlessness or even holiness. In verse 42, the word means to speak well of. To speak well of. And of course we should speak well of Mary, as Elizabeth does. I have no problem speaking well of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I have a great deal of respect for her as the woman God chose to bring Jesus into the world. But there is a big difference between speaking well of someone and respecting a person and worshiping that person. So for Mary to be blessed does not mean that Elizabeth, or anyone else for that matter, should worship her. In fact, notice another little nuance in verse 42. This is Luke 1, verse 42. Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women." Note the word among. Elizabeth did not say above women. If Mary was supposed to be venerated, don't you think Elizabeth would have said above instead of among? But she does not, nor does she bow in worship. No one in the Bible worships Mary. So why should you? We do get the word blessed again in Luke 1, verse 48. Mary says of herself, "All generations will count me blessed." What does this word blessed mean? It's a different Greek word from the one in verse 42. And this word blessed simply means to pronounce happy. Friends, Mary simply pronounced herself happy. And of course she is happy. As the message of Gabriel sinks in and Mary feels her physical body changing, now pregnant with Jesus, she is a happy woman. She is blessed. And all of the generations to follow her considered her happy. She has been granted the awesome privilege of serving God by being the earthly mother of Jesus. She is in his immediate genealogy. This makes her a very happy woman indeed. But again, not sinless, and not adequate for worship. Certainly not. So far, I have brought to your attention four sets of verses to counter the false teaching that Mary was immaculately conceived, sinless, and to be worshipped. But perhaps the greatest convincing proof that Mary was not who the Catholic Church says she was is Jesus. If Mary were who they say, or you say, if you are Catholic, she was, then wouldn't Jesus point this out about her? Instead, the Lord does just the opposite. I have three texts in mind here, and the first is also in Luke, this time chapter 11, verses 27 to 28. Let me read that for you. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed." But Jesus said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." The woman in the crowd wants to offer a great blessing to Mary. She is the one who bore Jesus, and he nursed at her breasts. But notice what Jesus says in return. He does not say, "Oh yes, blessed is Mary. Come and worship her, venerate her, for she is of an immaculate conception and sinless, as am I." No, Jesus humbles Mary. He downplays her. Jesus said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." And both uses of the word blessed here are to pronounce happy. Jesus says, "Happy are those. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Are you someone who hears this Bible and then goes out and does what the Bible says to do? If so, then Jesus says, you are the blessed. I marvel that Jesus, given the perfect opportunity to raise his earthly mother, to exalt her, to venerate her, does not do so. Please see this in the text, Luke 11, 27 to 28. Jesus does not do so. And it's the same in John's gospel. Come with me, at least by ear, over to the gospel according to John chapter 2. I want to read verses 1 through 4. We talked about this passage recently as well, but what interests us here is how Jesus speaks to his mother. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." Notice what Jesus calls his mother Mary. He calls her woman. And if we go all the way over to the 19th chapter of John and verse 26, where we also visited in our discussion about Mary's supposed perpetual virginity, then you will hear Jesus call Mary woman again. This is John chapter 19 and verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Jesus calls Mary woman repeatedly. He speaks less highly of her than my Catholic friends speak of Mary. How can this be? Jesus definitely, absolutely does not see Mary as his co-equal. How does Jesus respond to Mary? The answer should tell us everything we need to know about her. And it does. According to the testimony of the Bible that we've looked at carefully together, we can say with confidence that Mary was and is not who the Catholic Church says that she was and is. And I have felt it necessary and appropriate in teaching Luke chapter 1 to address these differences. So how do you respond? What do you think? I'd love to hear from you on this. And you can get in touch with me this weekend by email. The address is mark@markaswallow.com, and you spell my name M-A-R-K. Or my mailing address, it's God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. Winchester is spelled W-I-N-C-H-E-S-T-E-R. And remember, all of the verses I've used here are on God Is, W-E-Z-E, on Facebook, or write to me and ask for them. There is even more to say. We didn't even get to the fact that Mary made sin offerings to God. I'll list that text on that Facebook site, or if you ask for it, you can get it. Of course, I will also mention it now. Read Luke 2, verses 22 to 24, and Leviticus 12 from the Old Testament, and watch what Mary does. That is Luke 2, verses 22 to 24, and pair it with Leviticus 12. Mary makes a sin offering because she is a sinner. And then, of course, there are other dimensions to the theology of Catholicism that I didn't get to. They say Mary was the mother of God and a co-mediator and mediatrix of the grace of Christ with Christ. And then there is the supposed bodily assumption of Mary into heaven. The church teaches that she was taken from this world without dying, just like Jesus was in the book of Acts. Because she was sinless, then she was kept from the ultimate consequence of sin, which is death. And, you see, this goes on and on. What about the supposed appearances or apparitions of Mary, even in somewhat recent history, like at Fatima? Again, we can refute all of this from the Bible itself, but time does not yet allow for this. So if you're interested in what the Bible says, write to me, please. I am sincere about this. Write with your questions and comments, and I will be sure to respond. You can count on it. I'll do so as soon as possible. My addresses are going to be repeated in a moment, so get ready to write them down. What are we going to do when you return on Monday is to go back to Luke 1, and I will continue to teach the text in preparation for Christmas and beyond. I believe that we worship God all the days of our lives, and not simply in preparation for and or on Christmas Day. So what does this awesome text teach us for all our days? Find out as we continue on Monday to learn who God is.